we want to leave you with the other big economic story this morning. Oil is at an eight-month low, below $90 a barrel. Joining us now is Carola Hoyos, chief energy correspondent for the Financial Times from London. Carola, this is a really important story, not only because it's a spike downward, which normally we would think of as good news, but because it's a real indicator of the persistence and the fears of a global recession.
You've said it all. What would you like to ask me? That's exactly right. It is. It's this reflection that worries people. The reason we're down is that generally people believe that in the U.S. and in Europe, as the crisis worsens, we're not going to do things like go on holiday and take plane rides, and we're going to downgrade to smaller cars or commuting, and we just won't be able to spend that kind of cash. The other big problem that we're beginning to see is this fear that this is spreading beyond our borders, and that China, the other big engine of demand, the U.S. and China being the two big ones, Chinese the one, of course, that's growing most quickly, may start to slow. And if that happens, the second pillar falls on the demand side, and there'll be relatively little one can do to prop up prices. And of course, that then falls to OPEC, and we'll see what they do in Algeria in December. But they're not a very organized organization.
Well, I'm not an architect, and you can't really support much with just two pillars anyway. But it's shocking to me how you go in just 3 months from assuming that Chinese demand and demand from South Asia is relatively infinite in the energy sector to now thinking that, oh, it's going to go away along with Europe and with North American demand. I mean, normally these cycles are much, much slower, it seems to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, last time around in 1997, when Asia collapsed, it was pretty aggressive and pretty quick. And even the Saudis, who have arguably the best data available, at least on the supply side, got it wrong. And we went to $8 a barrel. I thought you were going to say it's funny how we're talking about $89, $90 a barrel and thinking it's not necessarily high oil price.
That's funny, too. There you go. There's a lot of comedy in this.
Right. Yeah. Is there anything good about that, Carola?
Well, I was trying to think about this when I was thinking about the winners and losers. And one of the areas that is going to lose is, depending on how you look at it, is either good or bad. One of the things that was happening was that the very, very highly expensive projects that oil companies were going into, like the Canada oil sands, were terribly controversial from an environmental point of view. So it could be that if these kind of projects start being delayed, of course, some of them are already underway, then some environmentalists will be relatively happy. On the other hand, as the oil price falls, unfortunately, charity and the environment pretty much go out of the window pretty quickly as well. Even the other things, people who were uncomfortable with these dollars moving to the Middle East at the rapid rate that they were going with the increase in the petrodollar may be a little relieved, but not really, because as you said, John, right at the beginning of this, the biggest problem with this is it's a reflection of the health of the economy, and it's not a very pretty one.
Well, we have to go, but it's really interesting that, we're talking about domestic instability in places where the oil price is spiking downward, places like Russia and Venezuela, and also that exploration stalls almost immediately. So we might need new sources of fossil fuel, but they're not going to be explored at these prices. Carola Hoyos, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. Bye.